Matthew 6, verse 31. We started talking in Bible study this morning about more of the preparations for the wedding, and this is probably the most subtle preparation of all is what we're going to talk about tonight, and most important. In verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now the question is, for those that weren't there this morning, how do you seek the kingdom of God?
Memorize scripture. That's what we were taught. Memorize scripture.
We sought the kingdom of God by memorizing scripture. And by what?
Huh?
And by what? By praying?
Praying.
What kind of prayers? How do you pray? What kind of prayers were you taught?
An hour or so, the Lord's Prayer, deal with all these things. And then also that we were taught that you got to know what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and something.
Righteousness, joy, and peace, and the Holy Spirit.
So whatever it takes to get that stuff, let's seek.
Okay, let me try something on you.
Oh, shit, I already had one back there somewhere.
What? Anytime you can answer what the kingdom of God is, it isn't it. And so your questions about seeking the kingdom of God, I mean, you've seen it. Is this the kingdom of God? No. Is this the kingdom of God? No. I mean, you understand? You've tried, really, I mean, all men are trying to find the kingdom of God. And if the constant answer from God is, this isn't it, then how do you find it? Do you find it by praying?
By knowing what it's not.
You find it only one way. You find it by silence. You find it when everything in you is quieted. So the voices stop talking. The voices stop giving you ideas and things to do. You find it when you stop praying as you have been taught. The idea that you pray by speaking. What you speak is what you get. That's not it. You find the kingdom of God and the presence of God by silence. Now, we're going to just touch on that tonight because it's so vital that you begin to understand at least to, where are you? You're somewhere.
What?
Where are you? No, you're not. Okay. Talk to me. Don't hustle me.
No, I was listening to what you're saying because I had an experience like that today where it's, you know, wanting things to be different than they are, wanting my job to be different, or, you know, not wanting to have to get to work and, you know, changing all it means is just changing the way I see it or changing the way I respond to things, you know, and that by changing my response to things, there's the kingdom of God, you know, and that it isn't, you know, that was the process I went through. Well, where is it? What does it look like? And there was nothing. There was no response. And so I was faced with that silence. And that's it.
Okay.
This was just from my car in the parking lot across the street to the front door to work this morning.
Well, the ancient saints and the ones that have made any impact on me, the modern ones, people like Madame Guyon and A.W. Tozier and Thomas Merton, who else? One or two others. Anyway, all these people. Practice silence. And this is the, everyone that is really made an impact in the kingdom, in the name of God, in the world, that lasted. It came from their silence. And this is true prayer. And this is truly seeking the kingdom of God by going exactly backwards. By returning to that first point. By returning to that point of emptying of yourself. And it's something that doesn't require any intelligence to do. Doesn't require anything. Except the willingness to empty yourself and listen. Because it's one step below silence, because silence is just, you listen to the silence. I mean, you hear this shh kind of noise.
It's like the difference between, the point I got to, the difference between waiting, there's the waiting and then there's just the silence. When you talked about it being a point below, because you know, even with the waiting, there's an expectancy, you know, a movement of expectancy. But when there's silence, there's just, I mean, it's, you know, if you think something should be happening or should look like something, you know, the idea that there's not going to be anything.
Go to Luke.
How am I supposed to feel about that?
Luke 17.
Noise going on in the world, so much noise, so much deadlines, so many, you know, phones and TVs and messages, and it's just amazing.
Everything in the universe is an enemy of the silence.
That's for sure.
The biggest enemy of the silence is your mind.
And to imagine the what they're talking about, the superhighway.
Super collider?
No, the super highway of, you know, of information.
Oh.
You know.
Al Gore's big deal.
It's like laying in a hospital bed with the volume controls on either side of your head and having them turned up to full blast. It's just like, whoa, somebody do something. And then the second you turn it off, there's peace and silence.
It's like having those controls on full volume. This is bothering me. I'm at peace. There's silence. It's just like beyond me.
And when he was demanded, verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here,
17:20.
Or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Everybody see it? And have you ever practiced? Have you ever taken the plunge for silence?
I mean, that's really the only place where you can commune with God.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether there's any noise going on. The silence I'm talking about doesn't matter if there's external noises. You don't hear them. But at first, you can't do that at first. At first, you need to be physically alone and physically silent. One of the times, I used to give a lot of speeches all over it, and one time I think it, I may have told some of you, but I was the moderator of a discussion group that met every week, and I think it was called Explorations. And one week we'd have the American Nazi Party, and the next week the Black Panthers, and the next week the Communist Party, and the next week the John Birch Society. And I mean, it was that kind of a thing where it was the extremes of And so one week, I decided we weren't going to do anything. And the only rule was, there was about 200 people sitting in a room. It was a big room with sitting around at tables. And everybody was, you were facing across like we are here. And the only requirement was, is that you had to be totally quiet and that you had to be looking at somebody. You couldn't just be looking up or around. And for 2 hours, it was total silence in the room. And you had to be totally silent and you had to look at somebody. It about drove them crazy. More than half of them got up and walked out within 20 minutes. Not because they were bored, but because they could not take the silence.
This is creating a vacuum.
This is the real vacuum.
That's what that sound, the rushing wind is in the silence.
Let's see it again. Let's go to Matthew, huh?
That's probably what that silent piece of Job, he felt his hair was
similar. He saw, he would have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see it. Matthew 5. First thing he said to the multitudes, the very first words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word poor there is the word that means empty, expunged. Don't you see that we've spent a lifetime trying to fill up our spirit, our soul? God says the way to pray and the way to achieve the desires of your heart are empty. Blessed are the poor, the empty in spirit. Doesn't matter, again, this is the great equalizer. Doesn't matter whether you know a verse of the Bible, doesn't matter whether you've got an IQ of 200 or an IQ of 20. Doesn't matter whether you're educated or non-educated, doesn't matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor, male or female. There is no, everybody is equal in their capacity to empty.
Isn't it intricately involved the Holy Spirit?
Well, the Holy Spirit is what fills the emptiness. That's what becomes. That's what you and you stay in that position until you hear God.
Don't you get there by the help of the Holy Spirit?
Get where?
To that point of silence.
Well,
does the Holy Spirit help you empty?
I think so. There has to be a desire. We're at the point where, you know, how do you know the difference between flesh and spirit and soul?
If you try to play that,
you're saying is, we can't even exist without the Holy Spirit. And so, but what I'm saying is don't differentiate. Don't have your eye more than single. And then just be willing to take that plunge into emptiness, into silence.
We should do no pictures. Got a picture, then this, you lose it.
Well, you can't. You can't have a picture. I promise you that you've never done it. And that's why it's not describable, and there's no formula for doing it, because the Holy Spirit will guide you, and because each of us are different, each of us are unique in the body.
I guess I feel like that, to take that position and to
know, be to do that, to be empty, you know, and have the Holy Spirit rushing in. It's just, I keep thinking of it, how easily it's dismissed. You know, that powerful but yet fragile movement of the Holy Spirit. And when you move with the Holy Spirit, you know, how easily flesh dismisses it.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is that my people are willing in the day of my power. All I'm asking you to do is be willing, and I don't care how you define that part. I don't care if you've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. You can still empty yourself. You can still get to a point of a silence in which there's no, how do you describe silence? It's a silence that's silent enough to hear the still small voice. I think there's something wrong here. What's happening? Is it you?
Probably. But it is. It's hard to describe the silence. It's hard to describe being moved by the Holy Spirit. It's hard to describe that, you know, jumping off a cliff.
Yeah, but it's what I feel from you is resistance. Are you, huh?
I felt it when you came in tonight, just in hand. I couldn't put a finger on it, but it didn't feel like crystal.
Well, I mean, if I forgive me if I dismissed you when I said, is it the Holy Spirit? I didn't mean to dismiss it. I just didn't want to differentiate.
Well, I feel like what I'm trying to describe is there's a component of being a believer that requires, you know, the resistance, I think, is this, I guess the best way to describe at this point is about that party on Ted and Tylene's, the feeling of, you know, of being like a spirit, and so that you're there, but you're not there. It's hard to describe, and I feel like that's, you know, that's who I'm supposed to be. I know that's who I am, but there's that resistance where, I mean, my brain wants to equate it with being a tree. You know, what's the difference between just being a tree that people walk by all day long? Is that making sense? So that's my resistance. You know, but yet there's a desire to, you know, to have the power and the love and the closeness that the Holy Spirit, closeness to God that I can only get by being in that place. But it's like, you know, being in the world but not, you know, not in the world. It's weird. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's all,
well, the thing that's going on is, is you have to lose the right to yourself, to empty yourself.
So therefore, I wouldn't even notice then.
Hmm?
So then, therefore, there wouldn't be that. I wouldn't notice.
You wouldn't
that.
Notice it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an issue. The things that you're describing now are, have an element of crystal.
Yeah.
They're filling the space rather than emptying.
Absolutely.
It.
Because then if I don't fill up something, then I'll be invisible.
Well.
You know, it's just like,
that's right.
I'm disappearing. But yeah, that's
transparent.
Exactly.
That's
so that's the resistance. And that's what because that's what I'm confessing.
Yeah. But if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for his sake, you'll for the first time find out who you truly are. Crystal has been an illusion.
Yeah. No, I know that, but there's that, you know, in that moment there's that the fear and the dread, the holding on, like, oh, I'm,
well, that's what I feel is that holding on.
And that's whenever you talk about spirit stuff. And I'm like, I think it's time for me to go home. Yeah. That's where abandoning myself gets to be real, real, real clear. And it really starts.
Let's go to Matthew 8 then. Sanctuary of desperation. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's like
racing, yeah. You can for a time completely empty self and forget and keep self out of the equation. But the minute that self comes back in, it's like boom. I mean, it's scary. I mean, that's the scary part about not wanting to go back in once you've been in there. But the freedom.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really have to leave. I mean, it's like, whoa, you're not looking at anything. Then all of a sudden, self comes back into the picture, and it's like, ugh, I don't want to look at it.
Again, back to the very base. Go to Matthew 16, I'm sorry. This is at the core of life. This is that membrane that's between life and death. And what we must understand at this point is who Jesus is. And this is where Jesus said to the disciples, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave many answers. Except Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when he said that, that sounds like a title to us. But to that culture, to their minds, it said, "You are the promise and heart's desire of every man that has ever lived, including me. And so all my hope and dream and ambition and all my identity is now given over to you." When you say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," then it's you exchange yourself for him. And that's why he said, "On this rock, the rock of that confession, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it." And he goes on, the first thing that happens then, it's tested. Peter said this great thing. Then what happened?
Oh no, you can't get you a higher
side. Yeah, I mean, Peter, Jesus says, "Now, since someone has confessed it, it's been revealed, now I can fulfill my purpose. I can die." And so he tells Peter he's going to die. Peter says, "No way, no way. You're not going to die." And what does he do? He says, "Thou art an offense to me. Get thee behind me, Satan." And then Jesus explains further. In verse 24, "Then Jesus said unto the disciples, If any man will come after me, let him abandon himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life," at this moment, in this second, no philosophy, no now is the appointed time. "Whosoever will save his life in this second shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life into me will find it." And this is this moment we're talking about. And you lose your life into him in silence. Can you hear this? "Thou art the Christ. You are all of my hopes. You are all of my dreams. You are the desired of all." But right now we're talking, you are my desire. In you is total fulfillment. "Thou art the Christ. And I am willing to lose my life. I lose the right to myself. In this moment, not in another. For I know that if I seek to save my life, I cannot enter that moment. That's what I'm talking about. That's the resistance that I was feeling. Can you hear me? This isn't accepting him as your personal savior. This isn't any of that. This is abandonment.
Well, I feel like it's, right now I feel like it's impossible for any one of us to lose complete self-awareness of your shoes or of your, of an itch on your head or of...
Well, that's not right.
That's the resistance.
You, it is not only possible, it's as you do it more and more each day, it becomes more and more the natural state of being.
You already do it.
You do it every time you go to sleep. That's the secret.
The only time I do it, I'll tell you that much.
That's not, you
do it a jillion times when you're in the flow, when you're doing something, when you're what's called zoned.
Just the spirit.
All men do it. But they don't. Now I'm asking you to do it in knowledge. You've gotten a foretaste of it a million times. Now I'm asking you to do it in knowledge.
It just sounds contradicting. And knowledge means that you know that, I mean, it's just...
In knowledge of who you're giving yourself over to. Faith is confidence, not... Faith isn't... Faith is the certainty of the confidence in him who you're giving yourself over to. I'm not, I mean, we can talk about words all night. I'm not interested in words. I'm interested in a willing heart.
I mean, I can honestly say I don't feel as though I've reached this level of knowledge before.
Well, I think you have. I think for some reason tonight you're playing word games. For what is it profiteth if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Do you think about silence? Until you don't have to think about it anymore, until you're willing to take the plunge. Do it. I can do it 5 minutes a day if that's all you can do it. But set aside, I mean, it's set aside a time for your beloved. Can you hear that? Let him begin to reveal unto you the mysteries of life. There's no, when all the voices are gone, when all the speaking is over, just simply presenting yourself, say, Father, I'm yours. And in this silence, Father, your servant listens.
Mm-hmm. I got goosebumps. Whoa. Yee. There's somebody in there.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. You understand that you can't seek the kingdom in any other way but silence. Does everybody see that? Otherwise you're seeking for your definition of the kingdom.
I know this. I remember what you said this morning, which I've heard a thousand times, but now I understand when you said Adam could not fall.
That was language.
Yeah, suddenly I realized that what you're saying was Adam couldn't fall until he had language, because language is that with which you have conversations with the fucking Antichrist. It's the chatter that's in here, is that language, those abstractions, those symbols to identify separate things.
And as those separations and as those things lose. I mean, it's like you had to be the, as I said this morning, you had to be the prodigal son. Each of us had to go and take language to its extremes. And then come back to the beginning. That's enough. Take a big guy.